you don't have to go out with colleagues and they won't be offended if you don't. So I really welcomed it and was happy about it.
She still feels that she has got excellent working relationship and personal relationship with this person, which I think is something about a different generation.
There was a problem with trust that I couldn't overcome, and I actually had to change a little bit of directions.
Hello, well, you've joined us for the final programme on Working Abroad, the series for people who want to, well, work abroad. And in the next 40 minutes, you're going to discover the highs and lows of developing relationships when you're not in your own country. My name's Susan Fern, and with me, full of advice, is intercultural expert Richard Cook. Richard, hello.
Hello.
So, Richard, when we say relationships, we're not just talking about boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands and wives, are we?
No, not at all. In simple terms, what we're talking about is how we relate to each other at work in order to get the job done.
And what's likely to create difficulties in building these kind of relationships at work?
Well, in a single cultural context, we've got enough problems already. Personality differences, temperament, even the departmental culture that could exist.
And this is before we even start thinking about the intercultural issues.
Absolutely.
So a lot of things there that can affect the development of relationships in whatever circumstances you are. So how have our friends who've been working abroad been getting on with colleagues both within and outside of work?
It's not difficult to build relationships, but it takes time until they invite you to their home, until they get to know you and they trust you and they can consider you more as a friend. You do not get invited to their homes. Luckily, I've been invited to a number of homes already.
I found it much easier here to go out with colleagues after work and go for a drink and things. And people here mix generally quite well. I would have probably expected that, like, all the assignees from the different regions were probably grouped together, or like all the Germans. And there is some tendencies at the beginning, maybe, that people from one region stick together a bit. But people here really mix well. And in the evenings, we always go out, like, in groups. There's, like, English people, French people, Americans, whatever, everybody.
Certainly in the UK, I think I do have much better personal relationship with my working colleagues. And that is different in comparison to Germany. Very often here, we do go out after work. We meet in a pub. We sit down for an hour or so or drink and just have a bit of chat, and we go out for dinner together.
Well, on the whole there, they all seem to be getting on more or less okay, Richard, but it can't always be that easy, can it? I mean, do some people get on better working abroad than others?
There are certain characteristics that will make some people be more successful working across cultures.
And that's whichever culture you come from in the first place.
Broadly speaking, a good example would be being open-minded, accepting or being tolerant of different ways of doing things.
So tolerant people are more likely to get on better, open, tolerant people.
Yeah. And something else that's important as well is to have a tolerance of ambiguity.
What does that mean?
Well, in simple terms, when you move into a new culture, the rules have changed, but you don't know what the new rules are, so there's a lot of ambiguity around. You don't quite know what's going to happen next in some cases.
So that's not really needing everything to be absolutely certain, being able to tolerate differences and changes, and this more flexible.
Flexibility at the end of the day, and flexibility in the way you think and in the way you behave. And finally, I think probably just as important as those is good communication skills.
Well, as we've just heard, there's a lot to do and think about if you want to build up good relationships in another culture. But don't let that put you off trying, because as psychologist Professor Petruska Clarkson highlights, there are also a number of things that you can do to make the process just that little bit easier. Professor Clarkson.
I think ways in which you can ease the process, and this is only my opinion, I'm not saying, but these are possibilities for you to explore, is not to hang out only with your own cultural group. If you make friends with people from different cultures, even if it's not the dominant culture, this is important to keep your perspective, to hear other people, and not to sink into a ghetto of where you come from. So I think to be careful about not aligning and going living, talking, socializing, and working only with people from your home country. Secondly, you can be informed that this is, on the whole, a very positive process. But like all change processes, there will be a time when it will be very painful. So you will go through a period of homesickness or loss of identity or loss of confidence, and this is a normal part of adjusting to a new culture. Thirdly, find other people who've made the cultural transition well, but from other cultures.
So three good pieces of advice there from Professor Clarkson, Richard. You mix with different cultures when you're abroad, accept that sometimes it'll be difficult, and talk to people who've already moved abroad. Is there anything else that could help people who are struggling to become part of a new country?
I think there's one more thing I would add, and that is that at that moment when things are challenging, that you've got a situation occurring, behaviour is unusual or strange, how you respond to that is important. And what I would give people is work on the assumption that what you're seeing and experiencing is positive. It's positively intended by that culture.
It's positive. I mean, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, from the perspective of the other culture, they have a positive intention.
They think they're doing the right thing.
As far as they're concerned, they are, because that would be the correct way to do things in their culture. It's just different from yours. Now, the best way really forward is to get curious. What is the positive intention of this behaviour?
So instead of just packing up your suitcase and going home, think positive and be curious.
And that way you may get to understand the behaviour and you'll be able to work better with it.
You're listening to Working Abroad from the BBC World Service, the series for people who want to, well, work abroad. Today we're looking at how you can develop relationships. Perhaps one of the best ways is to try and forget what you think you know about another culture and instead respond to how people actually act towards you. You may, like our Argentinian Federico, be surprised by the results.
Only the other day when we went to the hospital and, yeah, the doctor felt that my wife was very sad because of the situation of the baby. Last week my baby was sick and we took him three times to the hospital. Twice they sent us back. They said it wouldn't be anything, but the third time they said, well, you stay here. And, yeah, my wife was really worried. And the doctor, he put his hand over her shoulder and told her, well, don't worry, everything would be fine. I was impressed at that. I was surprised and said, well, actually, this guy has... He feels the other people's pain and needs.
So, Richard, the response of the doctor there, I mean, he put his arm around Federico's wife, wasn't really what he was expecting because it didn't fit in with his view of a German stereotype as something rather more reserved. But what kind of problems can happen because we work from this kind of stereotype?
Well, this is a classic example of that, to assume the Germans being reserved and then to find out that in this particular situation they weren't. The danger of stereotypes is that we end up taking action based on them before we find out if the people in front of us really reflect that stereotype. Stereotypes tend to be outdated and rather broad. You need to find out exactly what sort of people you are working with. And if you look at the cultural curve on this, you'll find that broadly the majority of a population will fit into a set of characteristics, a stereotype or a generalisation, as we prefer to say. But there will always be people at the edges who will be deviants from that population.
So it's back down to individual differences again and really taking those into account.
I think probably the best thing to say is to make broad generalisations and then go and test them out and keep testing them out, because culture is fluid, it changes. And with the globalisation of the world and business, people are moving around a great deal more, so they may spend periods of time abroad themselves. So they may not be exactly like the sort of broad stereotype at all.
So never stop learning.
It's a continuous learning process.
So relying on stereotypes can be a bad thing to do because they might not truly reflect the culture or the other person you're dealing with. But what are you supposed to do when you move to another culture and come face to face with a group of people that you've not met before? How do you start to develop a relationship? For our Dr. Chris, this was a significant issue when he first moved to England, but not because of meeting the English.
The multi-ethnic background in this hospital, for example, has also helped me to learn a bit more about different other cultures and certainly of communicating with other people of a different background. I never, for example, worked together previously with so many patients and parents from Arabic countries. And certainly, being of Christian background, it is a difference in how do you approach an Arabic woman, for example. How do you greet? Do you shake hands? Do you just say hello? Do you focus the person and try to focus on the person's eyes? And it's very difficult to really find the right way of approaching this person. And initially, I was a bit scared, I have to say, and I needed a bit of guidance by one of our Arabic advocates and translators in this hospital, who helped me very well in understanding a bit these cultural differences and how to approach, for example, an Arabic woman, a mother coming over to this hospital with their child for their care.
So Chris there, working in a London hospital, meeting lots of different cultures, and that's an example of a situation where he had to ask someone for help. And as Professor Clarkson said earlier, that's a good way to find things out about different cultures. But in that situation, what else could he have done?
First of all, I think that's the excellent way to do it, to go straight to the source, find out clearly what's going on. If you can't do that, there is material in books, there are other sort of websites and so on. But talking to people really is one of the best things you can do here.
So talking to people, but how? What kind of people? What sort of things should you say?
It's very important that you find somebody who is able to actually talk about their own culture, is comfortable with it and has an ability to do it. It's not something which we have naturally. A translator is a very good person because that's really what they're doing a lot of the time. They're translating from one cultural language, usually, into another. So they're great people to do it. Some of the problems you can get is you ask somebody from a culture, why do you do this? They may not really have thought about it consciously.
They've never questioned it themselves.
They're just part of the culture. And that can leave you rather frustrated. So choose the person carefully. If you don't get a good response, try somebody else, and you can always fall back on the books, of course, at the end of the day.
Well, Richard, you've been explaining a lot of things to our audience today, and I'm afraid we're coming to the end of the programme. So before you go, what's your last tip for people planning on working abroad? What's it to be?
Keep open, keep learning, never give up.
Richard, thank you very much indeed. Well, that's it for this series of Working Abroad. Many thanks to Richard Cook for advising us, and of course to all the people working abroad who've told us about their experiences. We end with a final comment from Chris on how working abroad has become, well, working at home for him. Goodbye and enjoy your working abroad.
For me, I can't even say working abroad because I feel quite much at home in this country. So when I embark on an aircraft in Germany to fly back to London, I go home and back to London. And this is something I can't actually remember when it happened, but at some point after 2 or 3 years, it just happened to me, and I suddenly realized, oh my God, I just said, I'm going home to London.